Thanks for joining us today at Springwell Church, where we want to draw spiritually thirsty people to Jesus by loving God, loving each other, and loving the world. We hope that today's message builds you up, gives you a little insight, and helps you find a brand new perspective. You can find us in Taylor, South Carolina, and online at springwell.org. That's springwell.org. Now let's jump into the message.
Just to let you know, I was thinking about y'all a lot this week. Y'all believe me that during the week I was thinking about y'all, and I pray for so many of you, just because you're on my prayer list. Maybe something I've known going on in your life, or just something I sense going on in your life. But let me just say, as I pray for you and as I pray for this church, my heart is always so honored and so grateful that I get to be a part of what God does here at Springwell every week. And the best part of this place isn't the music, certainly ain't the preaching. Sorry, Pastor Scott. The best part about this place is you. And I just want to let you know that I love you, and that I pray for you, and that I think about you. Thank you. I was waiting on that. No, I'm just kidding. We started a series of messages last week that we're calling To You From God. See, we got it right there. To You From God. And so the concept behind this message series is, what if God were writing Springwell Church in 2024 a letter? What are some of the things that he might would say? And so last week we looked at the fact that maybe he would say, pick the right package. Remember that? I had the two envelopes. I poured dirt on the stage. Some of you freaked out because my shoes were white and the dirt was brown, and I made a really big mess. But we talked about the package of promise versus the package of pain, and how we're constantly getting these messages all the time, and we have to decide which one we're going to open. Are we going to open the package of promise that tells us we are who we are in Christ, and that is the truth, and that tells us that we're loved? Or are we going to open the package of pain that tells us that we're not loved, and tells us we mess up all the time, and tells us things should be the way they are because we're so jacked up? And so we talked about that the package we open the most will in fact determine our level of peace that we walk through life with. Today I want to talk about the concept of what is enough. Just imagine for a moment that you have everything you need, financially, relationally, emotionally, spiritually, that you are in such a great spot. Financially, you're in a good spot, and you have a car that you can depend on, a car that you actually like to drive. You have a home that is a home that is nice, and it's comfortable. Let's say that you have a checking account that has a balance to it. You have a savings account with a little money built up in it, and you can afford the things that you need, but you can also buy a lot of the things that you even want. And let's imagine for a moment that if you're married, you have an amazing marriage. You two seem to just dance through life together in tandem as you go. You have an amazing time together. You're best friends. You spend a lot of time together. You get my drift? Husbands. Let's just say that you have a great, marriage. Let's say that you have some great friendships. Maybe it's your growth group. Maybe it's just a circle of friends that you hang out with, but you do life together. You walk through life together. You've been through some life together. You have inside jokes. You love spending time with each other. You have a great life. You have a job that you love, or if you're retired, you love doing that, whatever y'all do when you're retired. You have an awesome church, right? There we go. A funny story, just real quick. A couple of weekends ago, we went to a Greenville Drive game, and there was a guy behind me who was, like, yelling, like, was so loud. You could hear him from the other side of downtown Greenville, I promise. And so at one point, I turned around. I'm like, do you do this at church? And he's like, I don't go to church. I said, well, I tell you what, I will pay you to come to my church so that you can do that while I'm preaching. He didn't take me up on it. But anyway. But you have an amazing life. Let's just pretend like you have all of that stuff going for you in your life. Let me ask you a question. Would it be enough? Would it be enough? Because I think I can answer that question for all of us. The answer is no. It would never be enough, because we have this thing inside of us, this concept that we're kind of born with, that there's always something else out there. That no matter how much we get, no matter how
wonderful our life seems to be, that there's always this something else out there. There's always like this line of enough, and once we get there, it seems to move. And so we are ever chasing this moving line that tells us that we finally have enough. I want us to look at this concept of what's enough, and not in the context of having a bunch of stuff or getting what we want, although we could preach that message too, right? And I think some of the same principles will apply. I want to talk about this concept of what's enough in the context of relationships. Because it's true, we need each other. That is a true statement. I don't care how much you don't like people. I don't care what your personality is, how introverted you are. We need other people in our lives who are making an impact on our lives that we can do life with. We need other people. We need to know that we're loved and that we're valued and that we're cared for by other people. But in the context of those real relationships, sometimes there can be some pain involved. If we're really doing relationships right, there's pain involved because we're going to get hurt. We're going to have people let us down. We're going to have people stab us in the back. If we're giving our hearts to somebody, if we're giving those inner thoughts, those deep things that we don't talk about a lot, if we're actually opening up about those things, we're going to experience some abandonment and betrayal. People are going to gossip about us. We are going to get let down. We're going to get manipulated. And if we're doing relationships right, chances are we will do that to somebody else. So how do we balance this godly desire for relationships with this concept of what's enough? My title this morning is That's Enough. Look at the person beside you and say, that's enough. No, you got to say it just like that, like you're aggravated. That's enough. We're going to be in Mark chapter 14. And when we dive into this story, Jesus is in his final hours. He's lived the life he was supposed to live, and so now he's about to die the death that he had to die. And during his ministry, Jesus had developed these close relationships with these 12 guys. These 12 guys that he had done life with that we call his disciples. He had invested in them. He had loved them. He had taught them. He had guided them. He had taken them places. He had trusted them. And in Mark chapter 14, we see him asking two of these disciples, Peter and John, I want you to go and I want you to find a room for us to celebrate the last Passover with, the Last Supper. It would be the last time he and these guys would sit down to eat together. And the next 24 to 36 hours would be excruciating for Jesus. That's where we begin when we see Jesus in a place that seems really surprising if you don't know the story. Let's dive in. Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 17. It says, in the evening, Jesus arrived with the 12. As they were at the table eating, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. One of you eating with me here will betray me. Greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, am I the one? He replied, is one of you 12 who is eating from this bowl with me? For the Son of Man must die, as the scriptures declared long ago. How terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better that that man had never been born. So can you imagine? Can you imagine what the Son of God is feeling in this moment? Because remember, Jesus is fully God, but he's also fully man. So in other words, while his home is ultimately in heaven, he finds himself on earth right now. While everything was created through him and by him, he finds himself being surrounded by these friends that he's had. And while he will ultimately live forever, he finds himself in a place where he knows he's about to die. And can you imagine knowing beforehand that one of your closest friends, one of the people that you have trusted the most, is going to betray you in just a matter of hours? Knowing that he had done everything he could to teach this person, knowing that he had let this person into some secret stuff that he hadn't let the people that he just taught or healed into. Can you imagine knowing he's about to betray you, and not just betray you, not just tell one of your secrets, not just gossip about you behind your back, but literally he's about to betray you in a way that is going to get you killed. And it's even worse than it appears on the surface, because in this time period, to break bread with somebody, to eat a meal with somebody, was to enter into a pact with them. Essentially, what they're doing is they're entering into this pact that they have each other's backs. They're taking this relationship to a place that means more than just sitting down with a bunch of people you barely know at Chili's one afternoon. They're entering into this deep packed to be friends, yet one of them is going to betray him in just a matter of hours. And so Jesus is about to experience something on a very deep level that you and I often experience as well. Betrayal. Betrayal hurts because it means you trusted, but you got disappointed. It means you trusted them. You believed in them. You shared some stuff with them. You opened yourself up to them, yet they throw it back in your face and they disappoint you. And that's why some of you today find yourself struggling in relationships, isn't it? Because you trusted. You trusted a friend. You trusted a coworker. You trusted a parent. You trusted a boss. You trusted someone, and they were supposed to value that trust. That was the expectation. Is that they would value what you gave them, that they would take care of your heart, that they would take care of the information that you gave them, that they would have your back when somebody else began to talk about you. You trusted them. They were supposed to be on your side, but they betrayed you. Maybe it was something seemingly small. Maybe somebody did gossip about you behind your back. It seems small, but it's a big deal to you. Maybe they stole something from you. And maybe it wasn't that big of a deal, but for you, because you thought you had a relationship with them, it was a big deal. Or maybe they used something that you said in a vulnerable moment, and they used it and turned it against you and used it against you for their own good. Or maybe it was something big. Maybe a coworker got you fired after you trusted them with some information. Maybe a spouse cheated on you. Maybe somebody stole a lot of money from you or stole a lot of something from you, and so you've been betrayed. I don't need to tell you today, because some of you have experienced this on a far deeper level than I ever will. I don't have to tell you that betrayal hurts. It changes how you view people. It changes how you view people you don't even know. Have you ever met somebody? Maybe somebody started at work, or maybe it's somebody you just got introduced to. And you can call it discernment if you want to, but you didn't like them. And you just met them. And maybe the reason is because there's a personality thing, or they look like somebody who has betrayed you. And so now not only does that betrayal destroy the relationship you have with the person that betrays you, but now you carry it with you, and it puts a wedge between you and other relationships. Jesus knows the pain of betrayal. You see, Jesus would be betrayed in just a matter of hours by the one that he ate out of the same bowl with, Judas. You remember the story? Judas would come up and kiss Jesus to tell the religious leaders who the man was that they were after. Just a few verses down on Mark 14, it says this in verse 27. It says, "On the way, Jesus told them, 'All of you will desert me. For the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there.' Peter said to him, 'Even if everyone else deserts you, I never will.'" You ever heard that? Sounds just like Peter. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. You will deny that you even know me." "No," Peter declared emphatically, "even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all others vowed the same. So there you have it. Not only is Jesus going to be betrayed by Judas, but he's going to be betrayed by Peter. And if you haven't been in church in a while, Peter is a pretty important disciple. Remember Peter? He was the guy who was equal parts full of faith and just full of it. Y'all remember that? He would be all out for Jesus one moment. He would be doing the complete opposite of what Jesus had told him the moment after. This was Peter. This was one of the inner circle of Jesus. Peter was one that Jesus had had conversations with him. He didn't have with anybody else. I can imagine they had a lot of late night conversations. This was his boy. This was Peter. This was Peter, the one who healed his mother-in-law. That might have been the problem. No, I'm just kidding. This is the one he healed his mother-in-law. The one who helped divide the fish and the loaves. The one who had walked closest with him, or one of the ones who walked closest with him, and he is going to betray Jesus. And here's the thing about betrayal in our own lives. Betrayal hurts the most from the people who are closest to you. Proximity makes the pain worse. Because those people that are closest to us, and sometimes it's family, and sometimes it's people who are like family, but when those people who are closest to us, that we've let the closest to our heart, they have the most potential to betray us, and it causes significant results in the future. Peter, one of the three, is going to betray Jesus in just a matter of moments. Peter, the one who said, it'll never happen. Doesn't it hurt most the people who tell you the most that they have your back when they betray you? Because we open ourselves up to a new level of hurt. It's the people who are closest to us that will wound us the most. And that's why some of you refuse today to let anybody close to you, isn't it? It's why you put up walls. It's why you don't have deep connection with anybody. Because you tend to just give just enough of yourself to somebody just to pacify them, just so you can feel like you did your part, just so they can feel like they were close enough to you. Or how about maybe you just share different parts of yourself to different people? You never let anybody know the full you because you know if they only have a part, they can't hurt the entire you. And it's because you've been betrayed. And so you've decided, I'm just not going to let anybody in so that nobody can let me down. Jesus would feel this betrayal as Peter, sure enough, three times denies that he had any relationship with Jesus. Jesus' pain continues. Verse 32 says, they went to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And Jesus said, sit here while I go and pray. So he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went on a little farther and fell to the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. Do you see the emotional pain that Jesus is in here? He continues, he says, Abba, Father, he cried out, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then he returned and found his disciples asleep. He said to Peter, Simon, why are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. So Jesus experiences the pain of abandonment. Abandonment hurts because you needed them, but they weren't there. You needed them, but they weren't there. We just read one time this happens, where Jesus goes off and prays and comes back and finds his disciples asleep. But it doesn't just happen one time. It happens three times. Three times he comes back to find them sleeping on the job. Now, I don't know. Maybe the disciples had a good reason. Maybe they stayed up late last night. Maybe they drank too much coffee after 5 p.m. Maybe they were struggling with anxiety because they kind of had this thought of what was coming for Jesus. I don't know. Maybe they had a good reason. But yet they still abandon their friend Jesus on one of the most crucial days of his life. Jesus is in pain. He's about to face the cross. And you can tell that there's some emotional turmoil with him. God, let this cup pass, yet not my will, but your will. You can tell he's in this struggle. And so as he comes close to the cross, Jesus is wanting companionship. Because remember, he's fully God, but he's fully man. And he's wanting companionship, like all of us do. Yet three times, he comes back to find these jokers asleep. And isn't that when the pain of abandonment is the most real? When you're at your most vulnerable times of your life. When somebody walks away from you, it hurts the most when you're in an important place in your life. Maybe it's after everybody else leaves too, but you thought they had your back, but yet they still left with everybody else. Abandonment hurts most when somebody close to us dies, when we suffer some sort of pain, but yet they they walk away, or better yet, when we make a mistake and we've acknowledged we've made a mistake, but yet they still abandon us because everybody else seems to be doing it and they don't want to be caught with us. That's essentially what Peter does. And so Jesus is at one of the most crucial points of his life and he experiences abandonment. These three men, they had been there with Jesus. Like I said, this is Jesus' inner circle. They had walked with Jesus. They had, imagine this, they had been able to ask Jesus face-to-face questions. How awesome would that be? They had seen Jesus in places that we don't even see in Scripture. They had been a part of miracles. They had listened to Jesus teach. They had stood by his side through it all, but yet in the most vulnerable time, they abandon him. This is the ultimate pain of Jesus as he nears the cross, not the physical pain, but the emotional pain. Remember, even God for a moment on the cross would have to turn his back on his son because of the sin that he bore for us. God never left him, but he had to turn his back on him. And these disciples can't even stay awake. It's the pain of abandonment. The people you thought were there no matter what. The people you thought would never leave you. The people you've gone through some life with. The people you thought you could call when you were at your most vulnerable. The people that were supposed to be by your side are suddenly out of your life. They've suddenly cut you off. And what will it cause us to do? It will cause us not to trust anybody in the future. And that's another reason some of us are struggling in relationships. Because we can't trust. Because we tried to trust them. We put a lot of stock in the relationship with them. And they cut us off for seemingly nothing. So why would you trust again? Abandonment will cause you not to trust. You know what else abandonment will cause you to do? Abandonment will cause you to hang on too tight. You ever had those people in your life who have suffered through some abandonment and so now they put a chokehold on their relationship with you? Neither is healthy. But abandonment will cause you to not trust or to hold on too tight. And listen, somebody needs to hear me say this today because you've been wrestling through this abandonment thing. But you need to hear me say that just because you've been abandoned doesn't mean you're broken. Somebody betraying you or abandoning you doesn't mean you've necessarily done anything wrong. Because that's the logical conclusion we draw, isn't it? Is that I deserved it. I'm damaged goods. They should have left. Apparently, it's just me. Apparently, there's something wrong with me. No, just because you've been abandoned doesn't mean you're broken. That is a lie. You may have messed up. You may have made a mistake, but you didn't cut them out of your life. The reason they're out of your life doesn't necessarily mean you did anything to make them abandon you. Don't let the enemy put that in your mind. Jesus is doing everything right here. Yet his disciples still abandon him at his weakest moment. Of course, Jesus would go to the cross. Of course, Jesus would be placed in a borrowed tomb. He would raise 3 days later from the dead. And it makes you wonder, how did he trust again? Because he would appear to over 500 people after he raised from the dead. One of those people being Peter. And there's a beautiful story in John 21 of Jesus having a conversation with Peter and Jesus literally restoring Peter back, saying, I forgive you, restoring him back to right relationship. But it makes you wonder, how did Jesus do it? Now, I think the natural inclination is, well, because he's Jesus, duh. But remember, he was fully God, but he was also fully man. So how did Jesus do it? How did he put all of that behind him? The betrayal of his disciples, the abandonment of his disciples, the pain that he had faced, how did he move on from there? And I've thought about that. And I think what I've decided and what I believe is that even though men betrayed him, and even though men abandoned him, the place where Jesus got his enough wasn't from anything or anybody. See, we will always search for more until we find enough in who God is. That's the sermon, y'all. I want to give you an equation. You can write this down. Me plus God equals enough. Have you ever been at the place in your life where you've had to figure that out the hard way? That I can't gain enough possessions. I can't get enough in the bank account. I can't get enough of the right friends. I can't have enough of the right girlfriends or the right boyfriends. I can't have the right spouse in order for me to feel like enough. The only way you and I will ever be able to make it through emotional turmoil, through abandonment, through betrayal, through rejection, the only way we'll be able to make it is when we decide that me plus God equals enough. You can put whatever you want to in that equation. You can put whatever you want to in that equation, me plus a substance, and it will not equal enough. Me plus another relationship, and it will not equal enough. Me plus a bigger house, and it will not equal enough. Me plus a new season of life, and it will not equal enough. And I'm not trying to discount your pain, and I'm not trying to say it's really this easy, but if we can get it deep into our souls and in our spirit, and Holy Spirit can teach us on a deeper level, we will live a different life when we fully believe that me plus God equals enough. It's the only way this is going to work, y'all. I need my Greenville Drive guy right now. I'm not belittling your pain today, because I know that some of you have experienced abandonment and betrayal in ways that I can't comprehend, although I do know some of the ways some of you have experienced it because I've talked to you. So I'm not trying to just preach a pretty sermon, and this isn't just church talk. No, I believe this in my soul, y'all. I have been taught this over and over and over and over again. And if my life gets out of whack, the reason usually is because I'm looking for enough in another place besides God because of what he says about me. So how do we apply this? I don't want to just give you a math equation and tell you to go home and figure it out. How can we actually put this to work for us? Well, I believe there's three different things that we can do to begin to not just understand this with our head, but to get it into our heart, because that's the problem sometimes, isn't it? That I can know a lot of stuff. I can know what I'm supposed to believe and what I'm supposed to do, but I got a feeling in my heart, my soul. So how do we get this to penetrate our hearts? Number one, you have to focus on your relationship with God. I know that sounds really cliche and really simple, but a lot of times the reason we don't find enough is because we're focused on other relationships or other things. I don't know what that looks like for you. For some of you, you need to accept Jesus for the first time ever. You've never surrendered your life to him, and so you don't have enough aside from him. Some of you need to start getting up 30 minutes earlier and grabbing one of our reading plans in the back and having a prayer time and sitting with God every morning. It's an everyday thing, y'all. It's an everyday fight to believe this, that you're enough because of who God says you are. Maybe that looks like you need to make a commitment to be at church, to be among other believers, because there's just something different about being here. You need to make that commitment. It doesn't need to be an afterthought or a if I get to it thing. You need to be here. I don't know what that looks like for you, but the first thing is you got to focus on your relationship with God. You've got to build that relationship, so that when these other relationships begin to crumble or when something happens, you know you still have that. The second thing is you got to dig deeper. There's some of you who've got 30 years of abandonment issues in your life, or 30 years of people betraying you one after the other, and so it's led to a thought pattern about who you are. You got to dig deeper on that. You've got to talk through that with somebody. You've got to go to Celebrate Recovery on Thursday nights. You've got to get in a step study. You've got to go get professional counseling. You can even start by calling the church office. We would love to talk with you. Springwell.org/connect. We would love to talk with you. But you've got to talk through this, because the pain of abandonment and betrayal, and maybe it's even rejection, it's so deep that you've built these defense mechanisms, these coping mechanisms. And you've got to get to the root of it so you can figure it out, so that you can learn deep in your soul that me plus God equals enough. And then the third thing is you've got to have open conversations with people that you consider close friends right now. Because here's what I know is that the relationships you have now are being affected by the betrayal and the abandonment that you've suffered in the past. And so I know it's brave, I know it's bold, but you've got to have open conversations with those people that even you haven't been able to be vulnerable with. You've got to put yourself out there, and you've got to have open conversations with them and say, look, I'm trying here, but this is my experience, and you've got to help me. You've got to help me trust you. You've got to help me in this relationship. Me plus God equals enough. So here's my pastoral plea. Because I talked to person after person after person who has searched for enough in other places. Don't look for enough anywhere else. Don't count on somebody else to be your God, because when they betray you and they're human and they will mess it up, your entire system will fail. Don't look for enough in anything else. Don't look for it in having a certain amount in the bank or in having a certain house or in making it through this season of life. Don't look for it in a feeling or a substance or a child. And I see that all the time too, where especially us as young parents, we put so much into our kids, and then when they let us down, we feel like we failed. Don't look for enough anywhere else. Don't even look for it in your spouse, because they will let you down. The only way that you can get to enough, the only way that you can overcome, is by really believing that me plus God equals enough. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The band's about to play a song. There's cards in your seats. There's pens in the back of the chair in front of you. Maybe as they play this song, maybe you need to write a little prayer on the back about the fact that God isn't enough right now, and asking him to help you believe that he is enough. Maybe for some of you, you need to come up front and you need to pray, and you need to seek God and ask him to speak his love and his grace into your life. Maybe some of you, you need to have some tough conversations, and you need to commit right now to some tough conversations about some people who you have treated badly in the past or who have mistreated you. As the band sings this song, however you feel like you need to respond, please feel free to. Maybe you just need to stand. Maybe you just need to worship with them as we talk about praising God. But he is the only way that you can have enough. Y'all stand with us. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to find enough in who Jesus is. He's the one you've been searching for the whole time, y'all. It's not going to make your life perfect overnight, but it's going to fill a void that you've been trying to fill in so many other ways. If you need to accept Christ this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you can just pray this prayer. It's not about the prayer. It's about the surrender. It's about a heart of surrender. It's about a commitment. You can just say, Jesus, I surrender. I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to fill me. I ask you to make me enough. I know I'm a sinner. I've messed up. But I also know that you're a Savior. And so I trust you. God, I thank you for this amazing church. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for a Savior who went through many of the same things we go through, who can sympathize with what we go through. God, I pray for the people who are struggling with this message today. I pray that they would dig deeper. God, I pray that all of us would come to the place where we can say, me plus God equals enough. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.